Hey guys, I'm Sandy.
And I'm Christy.
And we're a little bit dead.
We're just two middle-aged women, and we're a little bit dead inside, and we're making new friends, trying to get to know each other, and this is our journey to authentic friendship.
Love it. Yay. Yes. Okay, so I've seen you real recently.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're recording two episodes tonight. We're trying to get ahead again. So no more getting sick for you.
Y'all, I'm all for it. I'm for it.
Okay, so we're going to do Christy's story tonight of, I'm going to let you say what we're going to do.
Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about my story, my childhood getting cut short, raising a family, getting married, how that affected it in my situation. Yeah. Because I'll just go ahead and tell you guys, I was a teen mom. I did share on a previous podcast about a situation that had happened to me whenever I was younger. I was 14 years old. No, actually, I was 13. I was 13 years old, almost 14, whenever I lost my virginity. Not by choice. It got taken from me. I was raped. And which is something that, you know, that's my story that I really don't want to get in depth in on here. I have come past that and healed. But that situation happening did have a domino effect on a whole lot of my life going forward from there. So we'll fast forward to I turned 14 years old. Right after that, and I started making some really, really bad choices. I was acting out a lot, just trying to, I don't even want to say make sense of my life in that situation. I was just rebelling, just for the whole point of just to rebel because.
Yeah. Well, that's something that's also really traumatic, and I feel like at that age, you're not equipped to handle that type of that level of trauma, right? And
so the things that come along with that,
yeah,
my decision maker in my brain did not work quite well for a while after that.
Yeah, I can see
so
that,
you know, the summer after that happened, I did date somebody for the first time. It was somebody that my parents approved of. It was a family friend. And I'm still friends with him to this day. But I saw the situation going in a way I didn't want it to go, because he was somebody that was a good family friend, somebody that I knew was a nice person, and I cared about him. And so right before I started high school, this was between my 8th grade and my 9th grade year in school, I broke up with him because I just wanted to start fresh in high school. Listen, I wanted to start fresh in high school because I was just wild. I was just wilding at that point.
Yeah. Well, you know? You didn't have a frontal lobe either. Mm. Like, your frontal lobe hadn't developed yet. And so right. Kids that age are not making great decisions anyway.
No, and I had already at this point, some of my friends had already separated away from me a little bit. You know, and that does happen a lot of times as you get older. Maybe your group of friends may change and things like that. But during all this time, you know, I had started experimenting with marijuana. I experimented with drinking alcohol, things like that. And there was one night, we were at our local, used to be 99-cent movie theater, now it's $1.50.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
And I was absolutely loitering in the parking lot. Like, I got dropped off, never went inside. We would just hang out outside until our parents would come pick us up again.
Yeah, I've been guilty of that myself. So
we did. Yeah. That's what you did back in the day. And you can, matter of fact, there used to be there was a little gas station not too far from there that didn't ID you to buy cigarettes. And back then you had to be 16. Yes. You only had to be 16 to buy cigarettes during that time period. And I was 14, but they did not ID me. So I was.
Fun fact, when a few years later when I came along, you had to be 18 to buy cigarettes and they still did not ID. So.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't even know to this day if they ID for cigarettes.
Well,
we're not going to call him out by name. But.
No, but when I turned 16, by the way, that was the year that they changed the age to 18. So I still wasn't old enough to buy cigarettes. That's funny. So anyway, back to what I was saying. That's basically what I was doing. I was going to the movie theater on Friday nights or Saturday nights, hanging out with friends, smoking cigarettes, because that was the rebellious thing to do back in the 80s.
Absolutely.
That's what you did. Thought we were cool. And so I was standing around talking to some friends, and this guy drives by, and he's trying to get me to go over there to his car. He had a nice car, by the way. It was a Pontiac Fiero. It was beautiful.
Okay,
it was
yes.
Beautiful. And he kept telling me to come here, and I was like shaking my head no at him. And then his friend comes up to me, and he's like, my friend over there, he wants you to come talk to him. And I said, well, you tell him if he wants to talk to me, he can come over here.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he drove by again, and I kind of ignored him. And then he ended up driving by again, because that's what you do in a small town. You just cruise around, right?
Yeah.
And that third time he came by, he put that finger out there and started giving me the come here with his finger, you know?
Oh, Lord.
And so
that is the most 80s thing I've ever heard in my life.
So guess what I did? I walked over there.
God, I love it.
I walked over there, and I met Jerry Brown.
Oh,
yep.
I love your husband so much. He is so funny.
He's a mess. He's just a mess.
I've only met him a few times, but he's something else.
Well, so Jerry was 16 at the time. And I mean, and I'm not going to go into his story because that's his to tell. But I'm just going to say, I feel like in this situation, I can say that we were there for each other right at the minute that we needed to. We needed each other during that time period. He was actually the first person that I had told about the trauma that had happened to me. But I mean, I was stupid. I was a kid. And so I don't know why I did it, but that was the very first night I had ever even met him. I had sex with him that night. I mean, that was wild.
Yeah.
That was stupid.
It is wild and it is stupid, but I will also say that it's not that uncommon because I did stuff like that as a teenager.
Yeah.
I just didn't get pregnant about it.
Well, I didn't get pregnant that night. Not that night. But, I mean, and so we were trying to have this relationship where I was sneaking off to see him. There is no way my parents would have given me permission to date him. It just wasn't going to happen. They didn't know him. They didn't want to know him. And eventually my sister and I had kind of gotten into a little tiff, and she tattletold on me. She told my parents. Oh, I remember what it was. She had gotten into a car accident. And so instead of, she was trying to take the focus off of her because she was drinking and driving.
Oh my God.
That's what had happened. And so she told them that I was having sex with Jerry. And which, backstory to that, like, I never got in trouble. My parents were so focused on what my sister, she was a senior in high school and I was a freshman. And I was still their sweet, innocent little girl. In their mind, they weren't paying attention. They didn't realize what was going on.
Yeah.
And my sister was very outwardly getting into mischief, normal teenage mischief, you know, that they spent so much time looking at what she was doing, they didn't realize what I was doing. So guess what? Put on the brakes. They started noticing it then, you know.
Oh, Lord.
And so whenever they found out, they were absolutely not, and like threw down the rules and the law, and that was not going to happen.
I have a question. Yeah. Were your parents very religious?
Yes. Very, very religious. Yeah. My dad was actually the chairman of the deacons in our church.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. And my mother was very, very active in church as well. I mean, and I grew up in the church.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, at this point in my life, I wasn't just rebelling against my parents. This was not a personal thing against them. I was rebelling against anything. I was rebelling against God. I was rebelling against any adult authorities at all. Just people in general.
You know, it's funny to me that like our lives are very, very different. We're very different people. But it's funny to me that we have absolutely so much in common.
Yeah.
So much in common. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because I can say the exact same thing.
Well, I ended up sneaking around and seeing him anyway.
Of course you did.
Yeah. And it went on off and on a while. We would break up and then end up talking again. He lived in a town over. He actually was from here, where this is where we live now.
Yeah.
And so, and I lived down the road, you know. I went to a different school. It was just... nobody knew everybody back then. I mean, you would dial somebody's number. When I was a little girl, to dial 7 miles down the road was a long-distance phone call.
Yes. Back in the day, to date somebody from just 7 miles down the road, it was an ordeal.
Yeah.
Because just things were different back then.
This was definitely the 80s.
'80s were just a different time.
So that particular night that I met him was October the 17th of 1987.
Oh, my goodness.
I know the exact day. I remember exactly what I was wearing. I know what he was wearing.
I had just turned seven.
Wow. So, anyway, we kept seeing each other kind of on the fly, you know.
Yeah.
And there just came a point that, like, I don't know. We were like magnets to each other, I guess.
Yeah.
And we would not stay away from each other. And so that year, the next year, it would have been 1988. It was on Valentine's Day. We ended up going out riding around and fooling around. Yes. And my dad had found out that I was not where I said I was going to be. And yes, this was one of those situations where daddy was riding around with a shotgun in the car.
Oh my gosh.
That he would not have known where to look because we were like on some back roads and stuff, you know. But it was shortly after that. I want to say that it was probably 2 months later. I told Jerry that I thought I was pregnant. And he had told me, listen, this is a typical teenage male answer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can't be pregnant. I can't get you pregnant. I've been with other girls, and I've never got them pregnant, so I can't get anybody pregnant.
Okay.
That was his philosophy. He couldn't get anybody pregnant.
Oh, God.
And he's just like, no, you're not pregnant. You're not. And I was just like, okay, well, another month goes by, and guess what? So I had another friend that she took me to it was the state clinic that they used to have. Do you remember?
No.
Oh, gosh. This was, it was kind of like, not a WIC clinic. It was like a women's health clinic.
Like the one they have in Mount Pleasant now?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah.
It was like that. They used to have one that was like right next to where the library is.
Okay,
yeah. It used to be over there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And so, I had a friend. She was the only one that knew about it. But she took me over there so I could get a pregnancy test. And I had to lie about my age. I don't know why I lied about my age, because I'm pretty sure that they would have saw me anyway if I would have told them the truth, but I lied. I don't even know
why. And so, at this point, how old are you?
I was 14.
14. Got it.
I told them that I was 16, because that makes it so much better.
That makes it so much better, Christy.
So, I lied and told them I was 16. They didn't even ask for ID or anything. They went ahead and, I mean, it was this state of Texas thing. That's what they did.
Yeah.
And so, they did the pregnancy test, and then immediately start talking to me about, okay, you know, you got some options to think about, and here's what's going on. And immediately I just shut down. I was like, you know what? I already knew in my heart of hearts. I knew I was. I knew I was pregnant. I just was, I guess, just pushing it off because Jerry said no, it wasn't. So I was just like, nah. I'm a 14-year-old pregnant teenager. Jerry, like, he was, and he had already gotten to where he had started to have a little bit of a relationship with my dad. You know?
Yeah.
My mom absolutely was not going to come around on this, you know.
Oh,
but
gosh.
But Jerry, he had started asking my dad if he could marry me, and my dad was just like, no.
Yeah, no.
No.
My 14-year-old daughter, absolutely not.
No, my mom actually was trying to convince me to have the baby and put the baby up for adoption because I was her baby, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I look at it now, and I understand where she was coming from.
Yeah.
Because I was a child. But to me, back at that point, I'm just like, how dare you tell me to get rid of my child? You know, I just like, there was no way that was going to happen. And so I ended up, I had a pretty easy pregnancy, honestly. I had a little bit of premature labor issues, like right at the end. So I was like on a bed rest thing. But I mean, by the time she was born, I was 15 years old. I'd turned 15 in July, and she was born in November. Conceived on Valentine's Day.
Oh, bless.
God.
Yeah.
There's a lot of November babies, by the way, and that's why. Anyway, I mean, that was a struggle. I mean, the whole point of having to go home and tell my parents that I was pregnant
I can't imagine.
And I was only 14 years old at that time.
I cannot imagine.
You know, my mom, like, she did not handle it very well. She didn't. I mean, there was a lot of yelling and door slamming and things like that. And I just went to my room and laid on my bed and cried. And my dad ended up coming into the room, and he just sat in the floor beside my bed, and he held my hand and let me cry, you know?
Yeah.
And then he ended up, he said the one thing that was probably the best thing that I could have possibly heard at that moment, and that was something that brought a little bit of light and joy to the situation. He said, you know, I always wondered if I was going to live long enough to see my grandchildren.
Aww.
You know, my dad was, he was in his 40s when I was born.
Yeah.
He was 11 years older than my mother, and they had tried for quite a while to have children before. I want to say they were probably married 15 years before I was born.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, my mom had PCOS, had a lot of hormone issues.
And how much older was your sister?
She was 4 years older than me.
Okay, yeah.
So, she, the way our birthdays fell, it was 3 grades in school ahead of me.
Yeah.
But almost 4 years.
Gotcha.
So.
Yeah.
But anyway, so here we are, going to school still and trying to take care of a baby. I want to say the craziest thing that happened to me, because of the fact that, I mean, I was trying to still, like, okay, so my rebellious phase, I put a pin in that.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as the pregnancy happened and I knew that that was what was going on, all the fighting and the partying and the stupid crap that I was doing, that all went to the wayside. I wasn't interested in that anymore. At this point, I'd made up my mind, I'm going to be a mother, and I'm going to actually be a mother.
Yeah, and be a good mom.
Yeah, that was my intention.
Yeah.
And so I did start trying to get my grades back up, because they completely slid when I was acting stupid.
Yeah.
And so going to school was important to me, and getting good grades and all that, because I wanted to try to make something of myself, you know. So I went to school one day, and I had to take my daughter to get her immunization shots. It was, you know, booster time or whatever. And so I only missed that one class period because you had to go when they gave you that appointment. It was a free clinic. I didn't have money. I didn't have a job. So
yeah.
I had to go when they had it available.
Yeah.
So I missed this one class. The next day I went to school, and the teacher asked me, why were you absent yesterday? I had an excused note in my hand for him to sign. Did they do that when you were in school?
Yes.
The little slips,
yep,
you had to sign if you were,
yep,
absent?
Yep.
So I had handed that to him for him to sign, and he said, well, why were you absent? And I told him I had to take my daughter to get her shots. Well, he signed the paper, and then he handed it back to me, looked at me, and he said, well, you're going to have to make a decision. You can either be a mother or a student in my class, but you can't do both.
That is the most horrible thing I've ever heard. Like, that, where the hell was the compassion?
It was awful.
Awful.
At that point, I was done. I was done.
But also, I mean, I'm not trying to defend this guy, but we also are in the Bible Belt.
But at this point, isn't even about somebody going and getting pregnant. I had a whole human being at this point.
Yeah.
She was a child. She was already
so
there.
Awful.
Yeah.
People can be so awful. And it's uncalled for. It's not necessary. You
well,
don't have
I can't
to act like
say
that.
That when all this was going on, I did have one teacher. And you know what? Like, out of every single class that I had went into, and I mean, even before I was pregnant, there was only one that recognized something wasn't right. And she actually came up to me and asked me, or she basically told me, if you need to talk to somebody, I'm here. I just want you to know that I'm here for you. And
yeah.
She recognized, like, nobody else recognized, holy crap, here's a kid that used to make straight A's, and now she's failing the class that was her best subject, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody noticed that. But she did, and yeah. I have to say that means a lot to me, and I've actually talked to her since then and told her how much that meant to me, you know. But
yeah.
The teacher that told me I couldn't do both in his class, I gave him the double bird on the way out the door. So, I mean, and this is so crazy because here I am, I'm a mom, but I had to call my mom and tell my mom, hey, this just happened, and I'm not staying here, and I'm not coming back to this school. And so my mom had to leave work and come and pick me up. Like I said, this is weird because I am a mom.
Yeah.
At this point.
And you didn't even have a driver's license.
No.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't old enough to get a drive. I wasn't even old enough to take driver's ed when I got pregnant.
You know, when I was in school, so this would have been the mid-90s. There was a girl that got pregnant, I want to say between our eighth grade and freshman year, and they would not let her come to school. She had to do, like, at-home stuff. Like,
they took me out of regular classes and put me, they put me in, well, back in the day, they called it the White House, and a lot of kids went there because they were in trouble, but there were kids that were there because, there was one student that was in the class because he had leukemia and he couldn't be around the other students. Because
did you go to school with my cousin?
What was his name?
Mark?
Yes, that was him. He was in my classes with me. Yes.
Yes, that was my cousin.
Okay. Yeah, he was so super nice to me.
He was nice to everybody.
So super nice. So great. I went there, and then eventually I ended up just on homebound, and I stayed home, and I did my schoolwork at home. Yeah, because I was not, even when I was, before I got really, really big, I was in classes with other kids, but they tended to lump all the pregnant girls in the same classes. We weren't even in the same grades. I was the youngest. I've said that before. You can drive 7 miles down the road, and you feel like you're in a whole, complete different country.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's 7 miles down the road.
Yeah, it's literally
it is
seven
different,
miles.
But that's what I grew up in. That's what was normal.
Yeah, you grew up in Dangerfield, yeah.
Right. Yeah, well, Lone Star, and you went to school in Dangerfield, so, you know, it's the same thing. It's the same community.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it wasn't, that to me was not a, well, okay, that was not a normal thing for teenagers to be pregnant when I got pregnant. I don't know that I might want to have been one of the first freshmen to be pregnant. There were a few of us, but not a lot. Not a lot, but there were a few of us. And, it was treated like a disease,
yes.
Like it was something contagious. I did not have any of my friends when that happened.
Yeah.
Like, at all. And I can't blame them, and I'm not mad at their parents either, because the fact is, most of them, their parents probably told them, you are not allowed to be friends with her.
Yeah, probably.
You know,
yeah.
And I know after raising girls, how I felt whenever I would see some of the morals of some of the kids, you know, I'd be like, I don't really think that that's who you need to hang out with.
Well,
the slumber party days were over at that point.
Yeah.
You know, for me, any of the girls that I had been, you know, my best friend, my clique, my group, none of them would speak to me at school. None of them. Some of them moved away. You know, different things happen. Life happens. But there was one person that I had known her since I was really young. She was much older than me. I say much, not, it didn't seem like it's much anymore. She was older than my sister even.
Yeah.
But, and she and my sister had become friends, but at that point in time, she befriended me. She saw and knew what was going on, and she was there for me. And if I didn't have her, I literally would not have had one person in this world that I could point to and say, that is my friend.
Yeah.
Like, that is it. And that was very lonely. It was lonely. I did end up transferring schools. I went to Hugh Springs. Hugh Springs was so much kinder to me, by the way. The teachers did not ostracize me for having a child. They already knew the situation because my husband went to school there.
Yeah.
You know, I expected it to be bad.
Different.
And for the situation that I was in, that's what I needed at that time. Jerry and I ended up getting married. My dad, he eventually got wore down. He told my husband that these were the three things that he had to do, and he would let us get married. He said he had to graduate from high school. He had to get a good-paying job that had insurance benefits, so he was able to take care of us. And then he told him he had to get a haircut, because my husband had some total 80s hairband hair. So he graduated from high school, joined the Army, and cut his hair into a mullet.
Oh, bless.
My wedding pictures, he is literally wearing a mullet.
He didn't have to get a high and tight with the Army?
Well, yeah, after he joined. He had just enlisted. He had not left for basic training.
Oh, gotcha.
So we got married in June. And that was in the middle of June, and he ended up leaving for basic training right after that.
So that's hard.
Yeah.
So now you have...
He actually turned 18 in basic training.
Goodness
gracious.
So he
was 17 yeah. whenever he enlisted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was 17 when we got married. I was 15, and he was 17 when we got married.
So your parents had to, like, sign off
yes,
and...
Yes, both of our parents yeah. had to sign. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Ugh, that was stressful, I'm telling you.
I can imagine.
So, you know, and he joined the Army, and at the point, let's see, Brittany would have been 7 months old when yeah. we got married. And so, I mean, we lived mostly with my parents up to that point.
Yeah.
Jerry still worked a part-time job while he was going to school. And, you know, he tried to pay for what he could. I couldn't even get a job.
Yeah.
I wasn't old enough to get a job. Yet
oh,
I had
God.
A whole,
yeah,
I had a whole
right.
kid.
Yeah. You were just a baby.
An entire human being, and I couldn't even get a job. So, oh yeah, one day I'm going to have to show you the pictures, the birth pictures, because I look back on those and I see the pictures of Jerry and I. We were children.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think I was at the time. I thought I was grown, you know. But we were babies.
Yeah.
We were babies. But
I was not much older than you when I had kids. And I look at those pictures and I'm like, my God, what was I doing?
Yeah.
The yeah. look on my face, and I just had twins. And I'm like.
Yep. Now what do we do?
Now what?
What do we do? So, you know, even my wedding, I wasn't even excited for my wedding. I just wanted to be married and be done with all that so that we could get on our own. So, you know, I didn't even pick out my own wedding dress.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't pick out my flowers. I told them the colors I wanted. I didn't pick out anything for my wedding. I didn't pick out the design of the cake. I want nothing. They decorated the church and they did all that. The boy that I dated right before I met Jerry, his mama made my wedding dress. It was homemade.
Oh, that's so sweet.
But, like, they... You know, people came together and did stuff. And this was all people, mainly people that I had grown up. They
yeah.
were the adults in the church that I had went to, you know.
Yeah.
But they all came together and they baked cake and decorated a cake and decorated the reception hall and did all these stuff. And we had a wedding that I really didn't even plan, which is what normal people do. You plan your wedding. You have ideas of what you want.
You were just a baby, though.
I just wanted to be married to Jerry. That's yeah. all I wanted. I just wanted to be married to Jerry. And listen, I'm, you know, he went into the military and eventually, like, I didn't finish school because once he got his first permanent duty station, I didn't want to be here anymore. I wanted to be where he was at.
Yeah.
And so I remember I had got my transcript from school before I left, and we were stationed at Fort Hood at the time. We lived in Killeen.
Okay.
Went to Killeen High School. All I did was walk into the hallways at Killeen High School, and I turned right back around and
That's
walked
a big school,
right out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was used to these tiny little towns,
yeah.
and that was a huge school. And all I kept thinking is, who am I going to pay to watch my kid? I don't even know yep. any of these people. Like, there was no way I was going to just drop her off with somebody so that I could go and finish school. And so I didn't. I checked out. I was
yeah.
done. And so I became a stay-at-home mom that wasn't even old enough to get a part-time job. You know, it was crazy.
Yeah,
but,
that's wild.
You know, as time went by, you know, we had a lot of ups and downs. You know,
oh, I can imagine being that young.
Right, and I don't want to get into a whole lot of that because, you know, it is hurtful. You know, he and I both hurt each other on both sides because we were kids, and we acted like kids. Kids do dumb things.
You were actual children, though.
Yes.
Like, obviously.
Yes. Whenever he got out of the military, I want to say I had just turned 18 when he got out of the military. I had come back home first. My dad took me to take my driver's test because I never got my driver's license
oh my goodness.
Until I was 18 because I didn't take driver's ed. I wasn't in school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
So I never took driver's ed. I've never taken driver's ed. I just, I just drove anyway. Is what I did. Oh my God. I just did.
Listen,
but the 80s were a different time. He took me to get it. This would have been in 91. So this would have been the year that my high school class would have graduated.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I finally got my driver's license that year. Mm-hmm. And I got my first job and put my daughter in daycare. I hate that I ever did that. I do. Yeah. I hate that that ever happened. But, you know, I feel like I missed out on a whole lot of those years. Because she was, like, 2, I think, when she started daycare.
Maybe. Oh, they're fun when they're 2.
I know. She was 2, almost 3, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. But anyway, you know, and we were poor still. Like, we started with nothing. My first wedding ring, I call it a squint diamond. You have to squint really hard to see that there's a diamond chip in there, you know? I mean, we were just poor, but just happy as hell to have what we did have, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
And I don't even know where else I want to go with this story, but it's to say that, you know, it was difficult, but there were good times. It was difficult, but there were good times. You know, Jerry and I, at this point, I want to say I was 20 years old. I was 20 years old whenever he and I had a discussion one day, and we were just like, you know what? Let's have another baby.
Yeah.
So he would have been 22 because he's 2 years older than me. And I swear to God, that day I got pregnant. That same day that we decided, let's have a baby. Okay, let's get pregnant, and I did. And we had our second daughter. Which so my girls are almost 6 years apart in age. They're 5, a little over a half years apart. And so not only being that young, having one child, but 2. And no education, no way to support myself. I mean, just saying, it's stupid. But, I mean, you know, I don't know how, but by the grace of God, we managed.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry never went on to college. He's always just worked hard.
Yeah.
He's a working man. He works with his hands. He does what he needs to do. And we've survived, you know. We've had little and we've had a lot. You know, we're definitely in a better place financially now than we were.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That's for sure. And I did eventually go and get my GED. I did go on to college, and life did not take the turns that I expected, you know.
It never does, ever.
But, you know, it's been a crazy life, but it's been a good life.
Yeah.
But I want to just, I'm kind of fast forwarding really quick through all that. We've been married for 35 years, I want to say. It's been 35 years, almost 36. And not easy because, you know, it's hard for any married couple. They say that most marriages, that most of the fighting happens over finances and things like that. Well, I mean, we were doomed to fail right out the gate, if that's true, because we were kids, you know, we didn't have anything. But somehow, I don't know if it's because we're both so stubborn, maybe, that we were too stubborn to call it quits. Because there's so many times that we could have, but we just chose not to. And I'm so glad we didn't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because he is, I don't know how to do life without him. I don't. But we grew up together.
Yeah, you know? Did.
We grew up
literally
together. I want to use our story as the exception to the rule, though.
For sure, because it does not work out like that.
No, this is
99% of the time it does not.
I would go as far as say 99.8% of the time, it's not going to happen. I've actually had another teenage couple came up to me one time and was, you know, they were telling me that they were going to get married and all these things, and I was just like, no,
don't do it.
You know, and I wanted so bad to tell them, don't do it. You know, and I did tell her, you know, our story is not the normal thing that happens.
Yeah.
And I did tell her, it's hard. It is hard. You know, I never got to go to prom. I've never been to a prom. You know, whenever, I mean, I guess if Jerry would have wanted to go to his prom, I could have went to that one. But, I mean, we had a kid.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't do prom. We didn't do high school things, you know. We actually kind of, like, after our girls grew up and flew the nest, we actually kind of backtracked a little bit and started acting like kids and started dating again and going and doing things
That's fun.
We would have wanted to do, you know.
Yeah.
We started going to concerts because we both love music so much and things like that. But there's so much that, you know, you can't take that back. So with me kind of coming back full circle, the whole deal with how people respond to a kid that is in that situation, like, okay, I have to say this. It irks me. It irks me when somebody, whenever somebody finds out that a girl is pregnant and she's just a kid and they want to tell her, you're just a kid, or, you know, you're promiscuous. They want to call names. Oh, she's a whore. You know what? I got called a whore by people for being pregnant. And do you know my husband was the only person I ever chose to have sex with?
Yeah.
But I was a whore because I got pregnant. And these people calling me whore, they had multiple partners.
Yeah. You know, if you're... I think people should be kinder to one another. And if your religion is making you be hateful to any other person just because they're not exactly like you, you need to, A, check yourself, and B, find a new religion.
Yeah, but the honest truth was, this isn't even a religion thing, though.
Yeah.
In this situation, this was almost every adult in my life at that time.
You know, it was a different time back then. It was not a thing that was
done. But it still happens today, though.
But it does still happen today. I think it's a lot more accepted.
There's something going on in that kid's life if that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, but also shit happens. And just be kind. Just be kind.
Well, that's why I go back to that one teacher who went out of her way to come to
me
and tell me, I'm here for you if you need somebody to talk to. Because she saw that there was something going on that wasn't right. She knew. She didn't know, but she knew.
Yeah.
And the fact that she put herself out there, which of course I shut it down. I wasn't going to talk to her. She was my teacher. I didn't know her, you know.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you know, looking back on it, that was the only adult in this whole situation besides my dad and my mom. Eventually, she did eventually come around. And by the way, my mom, as much as she was begging me to put my baby up for adoption, she became the best grandma.
Oh
my God. Yay. She loved her so much. And you know, my parents were notorious for favoritism. They did. My sister was mama's girl, I was a daddy's girl. And that's terrible that it happened. But Brittany ended up being my mom's granddaughter. I mean, that was her baby. That was it, you know. And my dad would get onto her and tell her, don't show favoritism to the other grandkids, you know.
I just think adults should show more grace.
Compassion. Goes a long way.
Compassion goes a long way. And, like, when young people, teenagers, are in that situation, like, the frontal lobe hasn't developed yet. And so they're not making mature adult decisions. They're making kid decisions because they're literal children. And so when adults put it on a child because they've made a childish decision, when another adult is like, you're stupid, you shouldn't have done that, like dogging out a kid for making a kid decision, it's not helping the situation at all.
No, especially the fact is, if they're already pregnant, it's already there.
It's already
there. It's not going to change because you give your ill-timed, unsolicited advice.
Exactly.
That nobody needs it.
Like, mind your business.
Well, keep your negativity to yourself, you know? I remember my parents telling me, if you have nothing nice to say, shut your mouth. You know, you know, sometimes people need to, if you cannot make the situation a better situation, shut your mouth. And I'm not advocating. I have to say this. I'm not advocating for teen pregnancy. I'm not advocating for it. But I'm telling you, things do happen. It happens. And when that does happen, somebody needs to be encouraged. Somebody needs to learn, you know what? Okay, so you're in this situation. Let's figure out what we can do to help you to make a better life for yourself.
Yeah. And, like, I don't think abortion is a great option. In every situation, I think there's situations where it's absolutely appropriate. But, like, don't force your opinions on another person, whether they're 14 or whether they're 30. Like, every situation is different. Every individual is different. And I just think people should mind their own business.
Yeah.
That's my biggest
thing. From my end of it, coming out of this, I'm 51 years old now. I'm telling my age. 51 years old. I've come a long way. I don't worry about walking down the street and somebody pointing and say, oh, that's that girl that got pregnant. Because guess what? Everybody else that got pregnant since then. You know?
The stigma does go away.
It does. And so, you know, if there's somebody out there that's listening, you're in the situation now, you know, the situation does change.
Yeah.
It does change, and there is a whole rainbow of hope afterwards. There really is. But in the circumstances, I have to say, looking back on it, I feel like whenever the child is that young, when it happens, you can almost go back and pinpoint some kind of traumatic event that has happened. There is something that has happened, because a kid that age does not act out the way that I did.
Yeah.
I did not care about myself at all. You know, I remember kids, you know, because kids were dumb. This was the 80s. That's what you did. And I remember one night we were out there hanging out at the movie theater, and somebody had speed, and they had their hand open to me, I didn't even know what it was. I just put it in my mouth and took it.
Yeah.
Why did I do that? It was stupid, but I was, like, self-destructing. You know, I did not care about me anymore.
Very similar, which I think we talked about next week. I'll do my whole thing. But, I went through some similar situations to yours, for not exactly the same reasons, but close enough. And, which the reason I keep saying religion is because everything that happened to me and things that I went through was, you know, religious people kept telling me this and that and the other thing about myself. And I'm like, bitch, you don't know me.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's happening. Fuck off. And so it's hard to be young and be your own person and go through things that we've both been through and come out of it somewhat normal, right? Which I think we've succeeded in doing.
You know what? You can look at me now and ask me, would I change any of that, though? Would I change it? No.
I wouldn't either.
Absolutely not. Yeah, you know what? Like, my two favorite human beings outside of my husband, that's my kids.
Absolutely.
Well, the grandkids, too. saying.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, it's life-changing, but it was not the end of my life.
Yeah, no. You know? Things, when you're young, things happen so quickly and can be just very fluid and moving, like, in such a strange way, because things just happen, and then because this one thing happened, well, then this and this and this happens, and it snowballs, and then you're in this situation, and it's a lot for a young person to take in. And so especially if you don't have people around you that are supportive and care about you and want you to succeed in life, it's real easy to fall into a rut of self-destruction.
You know, I do have to say this too. You know, big shout out to my husband. You know, I can complain, say, we just did an episode about child rearing and stuff like that. We did. You know, and there's things that he did not do back then, because dads didn't do those things back then.
Yeah.
Dads didn't change diapers and do the, you know, they didn't do those kind of things. But I have to say this, you know, there's not another human being that I could have went through that with and still been with him, though.
Oh, yeah.
He has been an amazing partner for me. And I'm not trying to... what am I trying to say
I've
here?
Seen the two of y'all together. Yeah. Like, we've hung out a couple of times. And y'all are just so precious. Like, there's not another word for it. You're just precious. And, like, he's very attentive to you. You're very attentive to him. Y'all are on the same wavelength. Like,
I'm trying not to cry.
I can see you, like, tearing up over there. But, like, I don't know you well. And I've only hung out with you and your husband really just one time, like, for length. And the way the two of y'all are together, it's just... It's great. And you know, y'all finish each other's sentences and...
You know, like, to go into that situation the way that we did,
yeah,
he could have walked away, because I told him, I said, I'm keeping the baby, and I understand that this is hard, and if you don't want to do it, I'm not mad at you. If you need to walk away, you can walk away,
yeah,
but this is what I'm going to do. And he chose to stand by me, and I mean, he has worked hard. He's provided for us. He never would allow handouts, ever.
Yeah.
Like, he's worked for everything that we have. I mean, and I have too, you know, as the kids got older and I was able to do that. But he did go out of his way to be a good dad, to be a good husband, a good provider.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're not perfect by any means.
Oh, there's always hard times in relationships. And I know that I've been through some hard shit in my marriage. And so you've probably been through some hard shit in yours too. But what makes a marriage strong is working through that and being able to have a conversation with your spouse about, hey, so you did this and it was not cool and whatever, and being able to work through those issues as they come up instead of just throwing in the towel and being like, yeah, I'm done.
It's kind of cool looking back on it.
Yeah.
That we've been able to be there for each other's almost every single milestone in our lives. Yeah.
Because y'all are young, yeah. young.
Yeah, we've been able to be that for each other through everything. And so it's kind of cool that way. And, you know, looking at my daughter, too, you know, here she is raising a kid of her own, too. You know, and she's talked to me. You know, there's things that she has come back and told me, wow, you know, she knows that I did most of the child rearing myself.
Yeah.
She knows that I did. And I mean, it's a whole different situation whenever you have teenage parents. Yeah, you know, that was different for her. I was always the youngest mom in the class.
Yeah.
Always. And I don't know, but you know, it makes for great relationships later after we get through all that. Yeah. So my daughter is only 15 years younger than me.
Oh, my goodness. So, I was 20 when I found out I was pregnant with the girls. I found out I was pregnant with the girls on my 20th birthday. And I was a little older. I was older than you, obviously. But I feel like me and my girls grew up together, too, because 20, even, is young.
Yeah.
And to have twins first rattle out of the bag after being told you were never ever going to have kids. So, but yeah, we grew up together. And so it's a different relationship. And now my daughter's pregnant. One of my twins is pregnant. And so her and I have been talking a lot about different things that happened when they were kids and different things that she was like, well, this and this and this happened, and I'm going to do things different.
And that's okay, because that's their time. That is their time to do the parenting. And, you know, just like we had our time and our parents had their time, you know.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And, you know...
There's no wrong or right. There's no right or wrong way to parent. Every situation is different.
I do have to say, had I been older, there are things that would have been different. I do know that for sure. But even with that said, I would not change the timeline of how things happened because of the fact that it's led us to where we're at right now, you know?
Yeah. And y'all are just so sweet together. I can't stand it.
Well, the whole moral to this story is, you know what? If there's somebody in that situation, instead of going out of your way to give them your opinion about how stupid they are, why not step in and give them a helping hand? And I don't mean giving them money or anything like that. No, I mean, just... you know, encourage them. You know, if they're needing to figure out how to navigate life, you know, give some advice if they're looking for it. Don't give them unsolicited advice because they're probably not going to take it. They're going to get frustrated. But just try to be there to help instead of condemn, because...
I would just say be a listening ear.
Yeah.
Just let them know, hey, I see you're struggling. I will listen.
I'm going to tell you what, it feels good whenever somebody comes up to you and say, I see you and you're doing a good job.
Yes,
I see what absolutely. You're doing, and you're doing good. And, you know, eventually that kind of stuff does happen. You know?
Yeah. Sometimes it takes you a while to get there, but yeah.
And I do have to say a name and give a shout-out to Nancy Lloyd. And I don't know if any of our listeners know Miss Lloyd, But she's the teacher who came out of her way to confront me and just give me an ear that would listen if I needed somebody. I wish that maybe I had spoke to her.
I know that name.
She was a good teacher. She was my English teacher my freshman year in high school in Dangerfield. And she was the only teacher that saw that there was something wrong. And there was, you know. And I had never dealt with my trauma. I did not deal with the trauma of what had happened to me until later.
Yeah.
And I had two kids at this point, and I was going down a bad road fast still, you know?
Yeah. I can see that.
But anyway, that's my story, y'all.
I love it. You are really brave to be as vulnerable as you have been in this episode and, like, share your truth and say it the way it is.
Well, you can't change it. I mean, and it's
maybe
when I was younger, I wouldn't have been able to do that. I don't know. But it is what it is. And I think I'm thankful for the life that I've had at this point. And I really hope that if any of our listeners are out there and you find yourself in the same boat, or if you know somebody that's in the same boat, you know, be that person that they're thankful for, because you're there to encourage them, you know. If you are in the situation, you know what? Just be the best mom you can be. Be the best mom you can be. And who cares what other people have to say, because that's not going to change your life. It's not.
No. Just do the best you can. That's all you can do. And if the best you can do is not the same as somebody else's best that they can do, it doesn't make you wrong. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you a bad parent. Do the best you can do. I think the bottom line is, do the best you can do.
That's right.
So, anything else for this episode?
No, I guess we look forward to maybe if there's somebody that has a story they want to share with us.
Absolutely.
We would love for you to send us an email. Tell us what's going on in your life. Tell us your story.
Yeah, tell us anything. Tell us your story. Tell us about...
And you know what? And here's the deal. If you just need a listening ear and you don't want us to respond to it on the podcast, we don't have to. But I just want to go ahead and say we're here for you.
Absolutely. You want to send us an email? Send us an email and we'll just answer it. We'll just be a listening ear for our listeners, because there is not enough listeners in the world for the amount of people that need the listening ear.
That's right.
So if you need to vent or talk or whatever, you can reach out to us.
And you can reach us at We're a Little Bit Dead. That's WERELILBITDEAD @gmail.com.
You can find us on Facebook for right now. Patreon's coming. YouTube, maybe. We're going to do some bonus stuff. We'll find out what happens.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week.
All right.
All right. Bye.